I love this service, celebrating the 60th anniversary of our wonderful sanctuary. In a selfish way, I love that I always get the best view. Don't miss this wonderful, wonderful view of the stained glass. And when we meet later in the day, it's even more beautiful as the sun comes through, this beautiful sanctuary. I love that we celebrate all who came before us, and remember, we don't only have to remember, because some of you are with us now, those early members, those who made sure that this sanctuary was built. And we remember those even further back, all the way back in our Hillcrest past, and all the way back beyond that, through the time of St. Paul, through the time of those Ephesians to whom this letter was written. To Jesus and the disciples, and past that, back to the psalmist and those wandering in the hills and their early faith. And we look ahead to what comes next as God and the Holy Spirit move with us into the future. I love this service, celebrating this sanctuary. And I love the lesson that we just heard from the letter to the Ephesians. By the way, I should also say, I love the city of Ephesus. If I would have had my act together, I would have gotten to you, Sue, a photograph or two of that amazing city. Those of you who know my office know that I have an amazing photograph from the city of Ephesus hanging on my wall. So much history there, so many glorious buildings there. When the time was finally right, 200 years or so after this letter to the Ephesians was written, the Christians were politically able to build a church, and boy, did they build one. The Church of St. Mary, just off the main harbor road, absolutely gorgeous. As I say that, of course, it's in ruins. All the glorious Roman buildings that came before that are in ruins. Thank God the Sunday school lesson that we teach the children is true. Even as we dedicate this sacred building, I thank God that it's true that it's not the building that's the church. It's the people that are the church. And I love this lesson from the letter to the Ephesians. So Christ came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through Christ, both of us, that is, insiders and outsiders, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father, that is, to God. That one line so well summarizes what St. Paul's ministry was all about and what our summer worship theme is all about. All are welcome. There is no insider and outsider. Jesus' ministry is and was all about breaking down such barriers. Paul got that. And so our lesson. Paul himself is an insider, of course, properly trained, proper heritage. Heck, his father was a pastor. He was trained at Berkeley. He had pastored and founded churches all up and down the California coast. Something like that anyway, the equivalent of 2,000 years ago. And Paul says, as we heard, Christ came to bring peace, real peace, wholeness, fulfillment to all of us. For through Christ, all of us, whether we or anybody else thinks we're an insider or an outsider, through Christ, all of us have access in one spirit to God. And don't miss that one spirit part. Paul's serious about that. Paul writes over and over again how we are all in this together, about how the body of Christ is made up of all kinds of different people, of all kinds of different shapes and sizes and colors and gifts, all animated by the one Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It's actually a great metaphor when you think about it. No wonder Paul keeps coming back to it. I wish more preachers and teachers and church leaders and church people would come back to it more. The idea of the body of Christ. It takes a lot of different parts and organs and cells and everything else to make up a body. And thank God for it. We wouldn't want to be all thumbs, even though I am all thumbs sometimes. Or all red blood cells, or all left hands, or right hands. All different parts make up a body. And that body, that body is driven by, is animated by one breath. Notice how when we get in trouble or in need, we remind ourselves or someone hopefully is nearby to say it to us. Take a deep breath. That's the Holy Spirit. And when we need a jolt or just a little something extra to get us to the finish line, that's the Holy Spirit too. One body, one breath. One Spirit. So St. Paul tells us, and so I hope and pray we live. We live as individuals, and so I hope and pray we live as a community and a family and a body of faith. Now, I wonder if you noticed how our lesson switches so quickly from that God language, the traditional God the Father and the Holy Spirit, and switches so quickly to political or civic. So when you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens. Wow. Citizen. Think of all that means. All that meant then in the Roman Empire, and all that means now. And think of how fascinated, even jarring, it is that Paul would use such language at a time when he's being imprisoned by the empire, at a time when the empire, the Roman Empire, ruled with an iron fist. And by the way, they entertained with an iron fist as well. Who's ever heard of a nation that spends so much money on their military, far more than any else in the whole world, and at the same time spends so much money on violent entertainment? You know any nations like that? And how did it work in Paul's time? Heck, Paul even writes in another letter that he fought the beasts at Ephesus. To this day, you can go to the arena in Ephesus where they put on those horrible spectacles, where lions and other animals of prey would be released on prisoners, like, for example, Christians. Sometimes people survived those horrible spectacles. Did Paul really fight the beasts in the arena at Ephesus? It's one of those questions I want to ask when I get to heaven. Was he using code language? Was he making some kind of an inside joke? We don't know. What we do know is that Paul, in prison, under the imperial thumb, is trying to make a point about citizenship. Not imperial citizenship, no. Here's what he says to all, whether citizen or immigrant or refugee, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but citizens. Citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God. Wow. And as if that's not amazing enough, here's where it gets interesting, I think. Interesting as we teach and live out the important understanding that the church is not the building, as sacred and holy and special as buildings such as ours is. The church is the people. And as we who are Hillcrest indeed celebrate this holy space, here's where it gets interesting. You are no longer strangers and aliens, but citizens, says St. Paul, citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ himself as cornerstone. In Christ, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are built together in one spirit into a dwelling place for God. Jim Weirich, remember Jim? And John Jost, and some of those other saints of Hillcrest, they knew just about everything there was to know about how these buildings and this particular building was built and why. Jim and John and others would tell me from time to time about the natural water flow, a channel of water that runs right below where you all are sitting now. And a little scary as to how close it is to where we are now. From the standpoint of a building structure, I'm told, and even in terms of sidewalks, and even in terms of the yard and the ground around us, the fact of that water flowing not too far beneath the surface is something of a concern. You want to make sure that your foundation and all the land around it is firm. And Jim was concerned. And thank God that he and all who were involved back then seemed to have got it right. Now, I don't want to take anything away from that real concern that Jim continued to carry with him, and John did as well, and others of you may as well, about that water below our surface. I don't want to poo-poo that. But at the same time, if you'll forgive the pun, I want to raise it up. Because I think it's something that St. Paul would have celebrated about this sanctuary. St. Paul knows his building practices. I mean, you can hear it in the lesson, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus is the cornerstone. The whole structure is joined together. And then, but then, Paul kind of switches metaphors in midstream and picks up a new organic metaphor. Now it's not such a firm, stable, static structure he seems to be talking about as a living, changing, growing edifice of some kind. In Christ, he writes, in Christ, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple. And into that organically growing temple, you are all built together in the Holy Spirit, he writes. And that's the wonderful part of this lesson I really want us to pick up on. As we grow and are built together in one spirit into a dwelling place of God. Now that's a church. Sisters and brothers, putting it all together, the great building imagery from our first lesson, the great imagery about growing and growing together in our lesson. This great structure with the soaring lines and the natural wood that our Hillcrest Church Jubilee history book tells us about and that Jerry read for us. All the great, great services of joy and of comfort and of prayer and of praise that have happened right here and that continue to happen right here. You put all of that together, and what you get is a temple, yes, a sanctuary, yes, and I would argue, along with St. Paul, that what you get is even more of a greenhouse. A greenhouse. This is a place that's all about growth, about our own growth as church, our growth as individuals and families, the growth of our outreach to the community, the growth of our work in partnership with others, including those of other religions. On this Pride Sunday, let us not forget the growth of our ministries with and among LGBTQ individuals and groups. The growth of all the ways we experience and witness to the good news. When it comes to love and justice, when it comes to welcoming all at Hillcrest, to quote St. Paul, you, we, are no longer strangers and aliens here, but we are all citizens, members of the household of God. May God's Holy Spirit continue to bless this sacred place for God, this sacred greenhouse in which we grow together in and for God's good news in the world, and let all of God's green gardeners say together, amen.